Good morning. Thank you, Larry. Dave, thank you. I was hoping you weren't going to fall off that top step. Good morning, and what a beautiful morning it is once again. Good to see you all here on the Lord's Day, and when we get to celebrate the Lord's Supper, as you maybe see down here on the floor again, that is the way we will have communion. It'll be ushered forward. I'll just explain. We did it this way in June, if you weren't here then. So first there are individual cups with a piece of bread in it, and then the next there is the trays with the wine and the grape juice. The grape juice is the innermost ring, as it always is normally. So I'll pray over the elements. You'll take the bread, take the cup. They're plastic. There's a trash can on each end of the table, and then you go back to your seats. That's how we'll do it when the time comes. So a couple other announcements here. One regarding the church website. If you've been on there, you might have noticed like, looks different. Well, it is. The web host that we have, Kingdom, are updating things, revamping things. So last Sunday's service is not on there. Hopefully this week we get things straightened out. But you can always go to YouTube. The services are on YouTube. Salem Reformed Church, you have to put Menno in because there's more than one Salem Reformed Church around the country. So if you put Menno, then you get to it on YouTube. The services are there as well. Okay? So we'll get it in time. All right, tomorrow night, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, is our Family Fun Trilogy, as we're calling it, our version of Vacation Bible School this year from 6:30 to 8:30, and we're looking forward to a great time. Parents, I think, have all been contacted. There'll be a parent or grandparent or another adult that is here with the kids, with your kids, throughout the evening. The one, you know, we had to make lots of decisions. So one hard one was, because normally this is always an outreach to the community and whosoever. We just felt this year we needed to limit to our own Sunday school roster. And so we have, for that reason. We'll be in the sanctuary the first half hour-ish, and then we'll be outside the rest of the evening. So we're looking forward to it. We're going to have a great time. Coffee hour, we're going to have that next Sunday. Yes, we are. So if you're not comfortable with it, that's totally fine. But there are many who are. So we're going to do that. As it says in the bulletin, we're going to have cookies from Carrie Dyke's Bakery. And we will all enjoy those afterwards. We're also receiving some new members next Sunday at church. Let me see. For the sound and video and projection crew, I think they all know this. We're having a meeting just right after church, after I'm done greeting. We'll meet back here in the back pews to go over things. So, and on that note, I want us to give a big thanks to those. We have 11 different people that serve on those three areas, sound, video, projection, and they commit a lot to do that, to making our services what they are. So let's give them a hand, please. Amen. We do appreciate all that you do very much. Last announcement I have is the Scotland Community Church, our sister church. They are receiving, this next Sunday, will be receiving their new pastor. His name is Brian Beck, and he comes from Pennsylvania. He'll be moving in this week, and they're actually having his installation next Sunday morning during their worship service. So we're excited for them. I should say the Huron Church as well has a new pastor just as of a month ago, so we're excited about that. Both of those churches having their pulpits filled. Let's bow our heads in prayer, please. Father, we are most excited because we get to gather here in this sanctuary in your name, Jesus, the name that is above every name. We are thankful, Father, that as you said in Hebrews, through a new and living way, we are able to come before your throne. Lord, that's all we've ever known. 2,000 years ago, it was a very new way to them, to the concept of their mind, that they didn't have to go through a priest or such as that, but we could come have a direct route into your presence. And we are thankful for that, Lord, the blessings we enjoy, your goodness. As a hymn says, oh, the pure delight of a single hour that before thy throne we spend. As we kneel in prayer and with thee our God, we commune as friend with friend. And so it is, as we're here together as brothers and sisters in Christ. Thank you for your wonderful, powerful presence here this day as we worship you in spirit and in truth. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. Let's stand together, please. We'll sing our opening hymn, number 43, I'll Hail the Power of Jesus' Name. Let's stand. And so he is the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. He is Lord of all. Well, just give a wave or air high five or something to those around you before you're seated. God bless you. And we'll have our sharing of joys and concerns this morning here. Things that I have written down. First, our prayers for these next three nights, our trilogy, Family Fun Trilogy, as we're calling it, and we're excited about that. Continued prayers for Les Melhoff, who still is in the rehab unit there at Sanford, might come home towards the end of this week, we'll see. Also, continued prayers for Terry Seiler, Fred and Terry. Terry did get to come home, was it yesterday morning or what, yesterday? The Friday night, she did come. Okay, so had tests, still waiting on results. All right, so just be lifting them both up in prayer. Otherwise, she's doing good. Good. Huh? All right, great. You are in our prayers. Charlie Deitcher did pass away this last Friday. And his funeral will be tomorrow at 1:30. Actually, they're going to have his service at the rodeo grounds there in Scotland. He, I think I read in the obituary, is one of the founding members of their rodeo organization, I guess we'd call it. So be praying for that family. Our Menomad Frogs, they were supposed to play yesterday, but those games got rained out, so they're playing at 1 o'clock today, right? If I got it correct? Yes, Caleb? All right. We have several guys in the church who play on the team, so today's is sort of do or die, right? We got to win this one to go on to state. So there's games at 1 and 3 o'clock if you're interested, right here in Menno. Anything else? Okay, nothing on that side over here. Oh, sorry, Michael. On Tuesday is Scott and Mrs. birthday. Happy birthday, Scott. Inching closer to 50, I'm guessing. How far away, Michael? You don't know. All right, we'll let you by. Cindy. After how many years? 27. Wow. Jim Christensen retired from nursing over at Freeman this last Thursday after 27 years. Let's just give him a hand. I think I speak for many that I know. I've heard it over and over, and myself, I've always said, whenever I've gone in there to visit, I'm always so thankful when Jim and Deb are nursing together or separately over there. What a blessing you, both of you are. So God bless you, and congratulations, Jim. They'll miss you greatly. Anything else on this side? Okay. All right, let's bow our heads, please. Father, we thank you for your goodness. We thank you for Jim Christensen and Deb, too, as they've worked hand in hand for all these years at Freeman, at the hospital there as nurses, and you've gifted them in amazing ways of compassion and care and wisdom to do that. So bless Jim in his retirement and help Deb to hang on till it's her turn, Lord. Thank you for them. And for on that note, we continue to lift up all of our healthcare workers in the midst of a very difficult time across our nation. I think of Bonnie Zabe, who was able to have a break back to South Dakota here recently, and the challenges she faces in Houston as an ER nurse on the front lines, and all of our healthcare. Bless them, keep them safe, give them strength, Lord, as they need. Be with the research ones who are searching for a vaccine and all that they do, Lord God. And thank you for your divine intervention in the midst of this time. We know you are at work, and we praise you for it. Lord, we lift up Fred and Terry Seiler, Lord, as she's gone through these tests and they're awaiting results, Lord, in all of our lives, whatever the diagnosis that we might face, whoever it is, we know, Lord, that you have the final say-so as the great physician. You are all-powerful, our healer, our deliverer. And so we look to you and we ask and thank you for your healing hand at work within Terry's body throughout her being. In Jesus' name, Les Melhoff, we pray the same over him. Jimmy Whale, as he now has a little break in his chemo and radiation treatments. And Glenda Walker, Mary Lee's daughter, as she has a change in direction on her treatments. And several more listed in our bulletin. Lord, you know them each by name. And you are at work in every one of their lives, and we thank you for it. I want to lift up, Lord, an unspoken request here of an individual who's to have a biopsy this coming Wednesday. You know who that is, and we thank you for going before that individual as well, and that you guard, Lord, each of these, their hearts and minds with the peace of God that passes all understanding in Christ Jesus. Thank you, Lord, for the family of Charlie Deitcher as he went home to be with you this last week. We ask you to minister your comfort to that family and bless the service tomorrow as they gather to celebrate his life and his home going. Lord, thank you for the beautiful rain we had yesterday afternoon, at least here in town. I know it was spotted, but what a blessing, and we praise you for it. We ask, Lord, your continued protection over the crops as they come to fruition and ripeness, Lord Jesus. We pray over our nation, asking you for a mighty outpouring of the Spirit of the living God, Lord, that people's hearts and minds and lives would be open to you, Jesus, and to the message of the gospel that salvation is only through Christ alone. And healing to our land. We pray for our troops serving at home and abroad. Guard them, keep them safe, give your angels charge over them, we ask, Lord, in Jesus' name. Thank you for birthdays, anniversaries around this time, and your blessings upon these individuals. For all these things, and maybe some that weren't mentioned, we lift to you in Jesus' name. Amen. Hebrews 12, verses 1 and 2, as we think about our offering and our giving, as you know, the box is in the back there. Hebrews 12, 1 and 2, it says, "Therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles, and let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us. Let us fix our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, scorning the shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God." Let's stand, please, for the doxology. Praise you. Again and again, we fix our eyes on you, Jesus. You are the author. You're the one who put that measure of faith within us. You're the finisher of our faith. You see us through this life so that, Lord, hopefully we can say, as the Apostle Paul said, "I have fought the fight. I have finished the race. I have kept the faith." And so we stand here, Lord, and ask for you to fill us with your Spirit, that we can stand strong in you and in the power of your might. As we bring our offerings and our tithes into your storehouse, and as we thank you for blessings in so many ways in our lives, of blessings of health, certainly, unexpected blessings, Lord, then you know the needs that are here, whether they are physical, whether they are financial, whether they are spiritual. And we praise you, for you are the one who does meet and supply all of our needs according to your riches and glory in Christ Jesus. So bless these gifts, we pray, in Jesus' name. And Lord, we pray together the prayer that you have taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Amen. You may be seated. The children can come, please, for the Kingdom Kids time.
Pastor Mike has a little bit of a sore back. Well, good morning, boys and girls. How are you all doing today? Are you having a good summer? Today's August 2nd. A few more days, right? We have? Yes, we do. Come on, F. Good job. Well, I have brought a few things with me today, and this is one thing. Do you know what this is? A card. What kind of a card do you think? Birthday card. A birthday card. Well, who gets these? Everyone gets them when it's what? Their birthday. And who sends them? Who sends the cards? People, family members, friends. We send them to tell them that we remember them. Because it's their birthday, right? How many of these do we have a year? How many do we celebrate? One birthday a year, and that's when we remember. Well, here's another way to remember people. Like, these are people in my life, in our life. These were my parents, my mom and my dad, Jeanette and Howard. And they're gone to be with Jesus now. They're in heaven. And they're not here anymore, so I can't look at them anymore. But I can look at this picture and remember them, right? Do any of you have pictures on your walls of people that may not be living anymore? That might be your grandparents or uncles or aunts? Yeah, because you're young still. Do you have somebody? No. Yeah. Well, we put this in our house, and when I look at that, I remember them and all they did for us and for me. What do you think about Jesus? How can we remember Jesus? Because he's not here physically with us. The Bible. We can read the Bible, and we can read about Jesus, and we can remember Jesus, right? What else? We can pray to him, right? We can pray to God and Jesus, and that helps us to remember him, right? How about this, to remember him? It's found in 1 Corinthians chapter 11, the second part of verse 23. The Lord, on the night that he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, "This is my body. Do this in remembrance of me." So that's one way to remember the Lord, right? Is when we take communion. And in the same way, after supper, he took the cup, the wine, and he said, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood." Again, he said, "Do this whenever you drink it and remember him." Because sometimes, boys and girls, we might forget all about Jesus because we don't see him physically. But these different things that you've said, when we read the Bible, when we pray to him, when we take communion, we remember all about Jesus and all he did for us. So what does the bread remind us of? Body. His body. And what happened to Jesus' body? Before he died, it was broken, right? He was tortured, and he was in a lot of pain. And it was broken for us, it says in the Bible, so we can be healed. How about the cup, the wine? What does that talk about? His blood. And what does that do for us? Washes our sins away. So those are awesome things. And I know you're too young to be taking this today, but when you come up maybe with your parents, when they take communion, you can remember too. All that Jesus has done for you. Okay? All right, let's pray, and then you can get your papers. Father, we love you so much, and we thank you, God, for sending us Jesus, your Son, and all that he did for us, lived and died for us so that we could be with you in heaven and that we could live with you in us through the Holy Spirit while still here on earth. I pray for these boys and girls that as they watch this today, that they see what happens, that they think about you. And all of us here, help us to remember you, not only this time of today, though, but every day throughout the day. Help us to remember you. Let these boys and girls be a light to wherever they go this week and shine Jesus. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Okay, you can get a paper. Trent, will you put this back?
Thank you, Anne. It's great to see the kids up here. I'm going to read in just a moment here from 1 Corinthians chapter 10. We'll start in verse 14. Let the children get back to their seats. Let's bow our heads once more, please, in prayer. Heavenly Father, we do come. We come to your word. Your word is our very life. And we thank you for it. The instruction you give to us, the encouragement, the correction, and on, the strength. Your word works effectively within us. You tell us that. And so we open our hearts and our minds to you this morning. And Lord, I ask that you would speak through me by your Spirit, that my words would not just be with enticing words of men's wisdom, but that they may be by the demonstration and the power of the Spirit of the living God. And I thank you for it. In Jesus' name, amen. 1 Corinthians 10, verse 14. If you have time today or this week, it'd be good to read the whole chapter. I'm just going to look through these verses here this morning. The Apostle Paul says, "Therefore, my dear friends, flee from idolatry. I speak to sensible people. Judge for yourselves what I say. Is not the cup of thanksgiving for which we give thanks a participation in the blood of Christ? And is not the bread that we break a participation in the body of Christ? Because there is one loaf, we who are many are one body. For we all partake of the one loaf. Consider the people of Israel. Do not those who eat the sacrifices participate in the altar? Do I mean then that a sacrifice offered to an idol is anything? Or that an idol is anything? No, but the sacrifices of pagans are offered to demons, not to God. And I do not want you to be participants with demons. You cannot drink the cup of the Lord and the cup of demons too. You cannot have a part in both the Lord's table and the table of demons. Are we trying to arouse the Lord's jealousy? Are we stronger than he? Of course, the answer is no. But we will stop there in the reading of God's word. So, as we have communion this morning, such a beautiful, powerful service. Every time we gather, there's so much meaning in it. As you know, over the years, we try to focus on different aspects of it each time. Sometimes it is the whole message, as it will be today, sometimes not. But our focus today is going to be on renewing our commitment to Christ, talking about that part of the Lord's Supper, renewing our commitment to Christ. So that the Apostle Paul, of course, he was writing this to the church at Corinth there at that time, and he was trying to get them to understand more what is really taking place. The joy of communion, there is great joy when we come to the Lord's table. You know what? There is also great seriousness when we come to the Lord's table, because we are in covenant with God as our Father through the blood of Jesus Christ. We are covenant people with him. I say often at marriages, when I do the weddings, I'll say the very same thing. The joy of a wedding, it is very joyful, but it is also very serious, because we are witnessing a man and a woman entering into covenant with each other, the marriage covenant between them and Almighty God. Both are covenants. And so he had to tell these people these points. How are we going to renew this covenant that we are in with Jesus Christ? Covenants were always and only established through the shedding of blood. From the very beginning, Adam and Eve, we talked about that a couple weeks ago, as they sinned in the garden, they thought they could cover themselves, right? With fig leaves. God said no. And an animal was killed, blood was shed, and God made clothes from that animal to cover them. All the way through Noah, when they came off the ark, what had to happen? Animals had to give their life, blood had to be shed. All pointing to Jesus, our ultimate sacrifice, blood shed, right? So, how? Letter A, if you're doing your outline, he says right off the bat, flee from idolatry. Flee from idolatry. Verse 14 again. Therefore, my friends, my dear friends, to the church of Corinth, to the church in Menno, South Dakota, flee from idolatry. I speak to sensitive, sensible people. Judge for yourselves what I say. All right, so it's hard in ways for us to think about idolatry because our minds just go to these idols that people worship. But it's so much more than that. An idol is hopefully you know, anything that stands between you and your relationship with God. Anybody that takes that place of him being number one or anything, that can be an idol. But for Corinth, that was a city that was full of idols. It was located actually only 50 miles southwest of Athens, Greece. And you know what Paul the Apostle said about Athens when he came to the city of Athens for the first time on his missionary journeys? In Acts 17, it says this, Paul was greatly distressed to see that the city was full of idols. That was Athens, okay? We're 50 miles away from Corinth. Well, you know, the overflow, it happens. We see it in our nation today, the overflow of the large cities and what goes on there spills out, right? Corinth at this time was estimated to have a population of over 200,000 people. That's a big city for that day. Over 200,000. This one commentary, it says that Corinth was a city with great affluence and it's cosmopolitan in nature, right? Hustling and bustling and, oh, everybody wants to move there. Same as today. Although we don't, do we? We're very thrilled to live where we live. Although we have some in Sioux Falls. Can't say that. Sioux Falls is a good place. Arlen comes every Sunday. God bless you. It says the city was filled with these pagan temples throughout. And on the south side of the city of Corinth, there was a high cliff. And on that cliff, there was a temple built to the goddess that was called Aphrodite. Aphrodite, and guess what she symbolized? Love and beauty. Okay, guess what comes from that word in our language today? She was the goddess Aphrodite. Ever heard of the word aphrodisiac? Now, kids, you can ask your parents about that at lunch because I'm not going to explain it here. That comes from that Greek goddess, okay? So crazy stuff going on in the city of Corinth. And beyond that, we are told in commentaries that the sexual immorality in the city of Corinth was so bad, there was a phrase that came to be known regarding that activity, that to Corinthianize. If you're engaging in all that, or they, engaging in all that type of wrong activity, they would say, oh, you have been Corinthianized. How sad. And that's what Paul was dealing with when he came to Corinth to present the message of the gospel. They had these feasts taking place at all these temples of all the false gods, and there was prostitution involved with most all of it. And so these people, as they were becoming saved, believers in Jesus Christ, they were having to realize this thing, that you can't be doing both. That's what Paul's trying to tell him here. You cannot be doing both. Paul stayed 18 months. Acts again, if you look in Acts chapter 17 and 18, read in there, you'd see his ministry in Corinth. And he wrote two letters to that church. 18 months, it says, he was there teaching them the word of God. That's why God's word is so absolutely important. That's why we take probably close to half of our Sunday morning time to look into God's word. Some say, why do you have to have such a long sermon, Pastor Mike? Well, it's about God's word. His word is what changes us. It's not just the fluff and the blah and the this and the that. It's his word that works effectively in our lives. And we have to be in it. What in verse 15, he says, I speak to sensible people. He's saying to them, judge for yourselves what I say. In other words, what's that sentence meaning? He's saying to the church at Corinth, you are not acting like sensible people when you keep going back to these false temples and engage in those feasts, and then you think you come right back into the church to partake of the Lord's Supper. You are not being very sensible. So what idols? Now, today, many things, we each have to search our own hearts. Like we finished up Psalm 139 last week, right? The last verses, search me, O God, and know my heart. Test me and know if there are any anxious thoughts in me. And on those verses go, the last two. We have to, as we're here today, we should be praying as we're coming closer to coming to receive the Lord's Supper. Lord, this should be our prayer. Is there an idol in my life that I'm not aware of? Idle work, too much work, let me say it that way, can be an idol. I'm not talking about being lazy or anything like that. I'm talking about someone that tells me or lives this way, you know, Pastor, I cannot ever come to church because I am too busy. I'm sorry, but you know, I work this full-time job, 40 hours, and I'm farming on the side, and I can't do it. That's an idol. That is an idol. There could be many things. Sports can be idol. Money can become an idol. On and on it goes. All right, so he's saying, how do we renew our commitment? We got to flee from idolatry. Second, look at the difference. Paul's trying to get them to see. Look at the difference. What? Between Jesus and this world system that we live in. Verse 16, is not the cup of thanksgiving for which we give thanks a participation in the blood of Christ? And is not the bread that we break a participation in the body of Christ? And this is something very special that takes place when we come to the Lord's table. That word participation, other translations, maybe New King James, it will say, is not it a communion in the blood of Christ? Okay, what's the Greek word there? Koinonia. You've probably heard of that one before. It's a fairly common Greek word. Koinonia. What does that mean? It means intimate fellowship and communion. More intimate, but the closest thing I would say that would compare naturally is between a husband and wife. The communion, the intimate fellowship that should take place between a husband and a wife. That is very sacred. And even more than that, God, our Father, Jesus, our Lord, the Holy Spirit of God wants that intimate communion with our lives, in fellowship with Him. He's drawing us, calling us more into that. I love, you know, the hymn, I Am Thine, O Lord. We did, when we have our prayer time at 8:30, we always sing a chorus or something. We sang this verse of this song, I Am Thine, O Lord. You know it, right? By Fanny Crosby. I love the third verse of that especially. Listen. It says, oh, the pure delight of a single hour that before thy throne I spend, when I kneel in prayer and with thee, my God, I commune as friend with friend. You think about the words of that verse are amazing. And that should be in our hearts too. Yes, this hour that we come corporately, very special. There should be these times during the week, throughout the day, we can commune with Jesus. He is our friend. He says that. He says, I no longer call you servants. I call you my friend. Jesus calls you his friend. You know that? And we can commune with him as friend with friend in the chorus. Draw me nearer, nearer, blessed Lord, to the cross where thou hast died. Draw me nearer, 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 blessed Lord, to thy precious bleeding side. And so we come to the table thinking about all this. Again, Paul was saying, you can't do both. You cannot do both to the people and to us today. Verse 19 of chapter 10, I'll jump to that. Look, do I mean then that a sacrifice offered to an idol is anything, or that an idol is anything? No, an idol in itself has zero power. It's just a rock, a piece of wood, whatever. It's nothing. When we were with the Navajos, those 11 years, and then there's the Navajo there, the largest tribe in the nation. Within their whole large reservation, which takes you 4 or 5 hours to drive across, inside of that is another tribe called the Hopi Indians, H-O-P-I, the Hopi. And they're just a small tribe of, I'll guess at 10,000. I haven't looked for so long. Total different tribe, total different language, total different culture. And they have these Kachina dolls, which are representatives of their gods. Beautiful, incredibly beautiful carvings of all. There's the eagle dancer. So you sort of have the body of a human being, and the wing on the arms are eagle's wings, and the head is more like an eagle. Of most every animal or creature of nature, you can find a representative carved, always out of cottonwood, is what they use. Intricate detail. We sold those at the trading post where I worked. You get a very fancy made Kachina doll by a well-known carver, can cost you $2,000 easily. And people, the Belaganas, that's us, collect those. Collect them. They come in and buy those. Wow. I mean, they truly are incredible. They're not buying them, I don't think, as thinking of them as false gods, but that's what they are. How'd they get on that? Oh, I know, the idols, of course. No, he says, no, they're nothing, but what goes on behind the scenes? The pagan rituals that really be false idols, false gods, what's behind all that? It is Satan and his work, right? And Paul clearly says it. No, but the sacrifices of pagans are unbelievers, they are offered to demons, not to God. Confirmation almost every year, somewhere along the way. Pastor Mike, are demons real? Are demons really real? Yeah, they are. They are real. Jesus talked about them, dealt with them. Apostle Paul's talking about them. Yeah, they are. Oh, do we have to be scared of them? No. No. We have more power in Jesus' name than what they could ever have. Don't mess around with them. Okay? Go on. And I do not want you to be participants with demons, he said. You cannot drink the cup of the Lord and the cup of demons too. In other words, coming to the Lord's table, going out then and going to the feast of these false gods the very next day. Can't be doing it, he's saying. You cannot have part in both the Lord's table and the table of demons. 3. How do we renew our commitment? Here, this the cup of blessing. I want to talk about this here. He says it in verse 16. New King James uses the word blessing. NIV says the cup of thanksgiving. This is verse 16. Back to that. Is not the cup of thanksgiving, I'm going to say the cup of blessing, is not the cup of blessing for which we give thanks a participation in the blood of Christ? The answer is yes. Is not the bread that we break a participation in the body of Christ? Yes, absolutely yes. When Jesus took that cup on that first Passover, the last Passover night, I guess I'd say, when he instituted the Lord's Supper, there was not one cup, but there was 4. Now there could be, it could be 4 individual cups that they had come to use by the time of Christ at the Passover feast. could be four individual cups, or there was one cup that was filled four times. Now, I'm going to just try to explain it a little bit here, but I'm excited to tell you that, God willing, in March of 2021, seems like the ways off, but not that far, there will be a Sunday morning, God willing, this works anyway, that we will have a gentleman here who is part of Jews for Jesus. This is a ministry of Jewish people that have come to realize that Jesus is their Messiah. And they come, they go around, and they do a Passover Seder. That's the word for supper. And he will be here on a Sunday morning, setting that out and going through it all. Some of you maybe have been to a Passover Seder before, but he'll do far better than I could. It'll be very neat. I hope we get to do it. But anyway, so the cups, what did they represent? Or let's say there was one. This is how it would have been that night when Jesus is instituting the Lord's Supper that we're celebrating today. The first time that cup was filled, it was called Kiddush. It meant sanctification. That was the first cup. The second time that cup was filled, it was called the cup of plagues. They were remembering the 10 plagues that God put upon the Egyptians that ended it for their deliverance to come out of Egypt into the desert and then, of course, the promised land. The third cup, this is called the cup of redemption or the cup of blessing. This is the cup that Jesus would have taken on that night before the cross. The cup of blessing, okay? The fourth cup, the cup of Hallel, which is praise. The cup of praise, of course. So when Jesus is doing that, and listen to what he said in Luke 22. He said, it says, in the same way, after the supper, Jesus took the cup, the third cup, the cup of redemption, the cup of blessing, and he said, this cup is the new covenant in my blood, which is poured out for you. So when he did that with that cup, he was setting apart that as something very sacred, remembering, yes, what God did with Moses 1,500 years before when they came out of Egypt, but also looking ahead to the very next day when he, the Lamb of God himself on the cross, would pour out his blood for ourselves. So in that cup, the cup of blessing, there is judgment, God's judgment upon our sin, and there is also salvation. In that cup, the cup of blessing, there is the wrath of God that Jesus took upon himself for us. And there is our deliverance in that cup. So much to think about. In Luke 22, 42, when Jesus is praying in the garden, what does he say? Father, if you are willing, take this cup from me. Yet not my will, but yours. That is in, he knew it couldn't be. He knew it couldn't be. But really in his humanity, remember he's 100% God, 100% man, fully God, fully man. In his humanity, he knew what was coming that through that night, the whippings, the beatings, the crown of thorns, the nails, everything. He knew it. And his flesh was like what ours would be. I mean, we gimp around, you know, like Ann said, yeah, I pulled a muscle in my back, what was it, Thursday late afternoon? I'm like, you know, oh my goodness. Nothing compared to the cross. Take this cup, if you are willing, take this cup from me. You know what? The cup of God's wrath and judgment that every one of us deserved, that Jesus did nothing to deserve, he took for you and I. He took it. He drank it. So that we are able to drink this cup today of God's salvation, of God's redemption, and to give thanks for him again and again. What greater blessing can there be? He says, because there is one loaf, we who are many are one body. And you know what we are? We are the body of Christ. Praise the Lord. Do we have differences of thoughts and opinions in ways? Oh yeah. But we are one body together. If Jesus is our Lord and Savior, we are the body of Christ. So we enter into communion. And as we come today, as you're going to be ushered down here shortly to this table, think about this. If you don't get anything else, remember anything else, I want you to be thinking about as you're coming, Lord, I'm coming today to renew my commitment to you. I want to give my life to you afresh. Help me to live for you. Just lay it all here, whatever you have to confess between you and the Lord. It's like sports. You think about sports, right? What's the coach say before the game if it's football game? Guys, come on now. Or maybe it's halftime and we're behind. Right? You got to go out there. You got to leave it all on the field. You got to leave it all there, right? What's he saying? Give it all. Give more than you think you can give of your energy, of your strength, and we'll have the victory. Or whatever the event might be, on the court or the field, leave it all there. Ought to be more as we live for Christ, shouldn't it? Give it all. Give it all. If there's something we're struggling with, we all do. As you're coming, just be praying that, lifting that up to the Lord. Lord, you know this thing I'm struggling with so incredibly, Father. I just want to leave it here at the cross. I ask you to take it from me. And he knows. He knows. Let's pray. Thank you, Father, for this table. What an honor and privilege for us to come and partake of these elements today with such meaning. And Lord, as prayers are being lifted up here in many ways, you hear them all. And you answer, I know you do, according to your will and in your time. Thank you for that. In Jesus' name, amen. If you would take your bulletins, there's a prayer there. Bulletins are in the pew. You should have found one when you came in. Prayer of confession inside the bulletin. We are told that we are to examine ourselves as we come to the Lord's table. So let's pray this prayer together, please. Before we pray, the consistory, I guess you that are helping can go to the back. Sorry about that. I'll give you a minute to do that. Thank you. Let's pray this together. Heavenly Father, as we come to the table that you have prepared for us today, we are humbled by your great mercy. We realize that you have not treated us as our sins deserved, nor have you repaid us according to our sins. Instead, you have placed us in Christ and have blessed us in the heavenly realms with every spiritual blessing in him. Today, we make a fresh commitment to our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Forgive us for getting tangled up in the sins of this world and the desires of the flesh. Heavenly Father, as we confess our sins to you today, we thank you for forgiving us and cleansing us from all unrighteousness. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. Amen. If you'd come, please. So as I explained before, you'll be ushered forward. Now, if there's anyone, if you're not able to come for the walk forward in that, we understand you can stay where you're at in the pew and we'll have someone bring you the bread and the wine. So you might just have to let Mark know here as he's ushering. And we can do that. Let me pray once more over the elements. And so, Father, we do come. You know us inside and out. We've looked at that psalm for 3 weeks. You know everything about us, and you love us. And as we confess our sin to you, you forgive us. And so we thank you. As we've read, This cup, the bread, the cup of the wine and the juice, the piece of the bread are a participation in the body of Christ, in the blood of Christ. As we commune with you, Lord Jesus, as friend with friend. And let it be so. And let us walk in a deeper relationship with you than we've ever known before. And Lord, as we walk down this aisle and you hear our prayers, I just ask for an extra manifestation of your divine presence. For those that need healing in their physical bodies, let it be so according to your will. For those that need healing of mind and soul, let it be so. For those who need to be refreshed spiritually, let it be so, as our thoughts are all on you, Jesus, our Lord and our Savior. We say thank you for the cross. In your name we pray, amen. And so the Apostle Paul said, "For I received from the Lord that which I also delivered unto you, that the Lord Jesus on the same night in which he was betrayed took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, 'This is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me.' In the same manner, after supper, he also took the cup, saying, 'This cup is the new covenant in my blood. This do as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you do proclaim the Lord's death until he comes.'" Amen. Now, parents with the littler children, you're welcome to bring your kids up along with you. Of course, as far as partaking, we ask that they wait until they've been confirmed. So God bless you as you come. We'll sing "Purify My Heart" here first, and then we'll go into another hymn. Thank you. Okay. Thank you. Did everybody get served that wanted? I don't want to miss anybody. Okay. Amen. Thank you, gentlemen. God bless you. We will sing our closing hymn, 513, if you want to stand. Thank you, Lord, for saving my soul. We'll sing this through twice. Please receive the benediction. And now may the Lord go with you. May He go ahead of you to guide you, behind you to encourage you, beside you to befriend you, above you to watch over you, and within you to give you His peace. Amen. And as we've been doing our prayer for our nation, we will sing God Bless America. Amen. How that sounds up here. Maybe you need to come up some Sunday and just listen. You may be seated. Thank you, Cheryl, for the beautiful music. God bless you. Have a wonderful day, and God bless America.